ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Tonight we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, entitled Jnana Yoga, text 44, page 314. Text 44. Purva Vasyaya Sena Tenaiva Vijate Hi Avasho Api Saha Ignashur Api Yogasya Shabda Amati Varte. Vabje Sena Tanaiva Naiva Naiva Vaiva Vidite Yash Avasho Api Saha Ignashirapi Yogasya Shada Brahmati Vartade Vabhya Sena Tainaiva Vidite Hiya Visho Api Saha Ignashirapi Yogasya Shabda Brahmati Vartate. Word for word. Purva, previous. Avyasena, by practice. Tena, by that. Eva, certainly. Riyate, is attracting. He surely avasha automatically api also saha he ignashu inquisitive api even igasha about yoga shabda brahman ritualistic principles of the scriptures. Ativartate transcends. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By virtue of His Divine Consciousness of His previous life, He automatically becomes attracted to the yoga principles even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the witness principles of the scriptures. The last verse, so we'll know what they're talking about here. The last verse says, on taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of previous life and again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O Son Kunti. So we're talking about unsuccessful yogi. Someone didn't go back to Godhead, I had to come back to the material world after leaving his body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Advanced yogis are not very much attracted to the ritualistic rituals of the scriptures, but they automatically become attracted to the yoga principles. which can elevate them to complete Krishna consciousness, the highest yoga perfection. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.7, such regard of Vedic rituals by the advanced transcendentalists explained as follows. O my Lord, persons who chant the holy name of your Lordship are far, far advanced in spiritual life, even if born in the families of dog eaters. Such chanters have undoubtedly performed all kinds of austerities and sacrifices, bathed all sacred places, and finished all scriptural studies. A famous example of this was presented by Lord Chaitanya, who accepted Haridas Thakur as one of his most important disciples. Although Haridas Thakur happened to take his birth in a Muslim family, he was elevated to the post of Namacharya by Lord Chaitanya due to his rigidly attended principle of chanting 300,000 holy names of the Lord daily. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And because he chanted the holy name, the Lord constantly, it is understood, in his previous life he must have passed through all ritualistic methods of the Vedas, known as Shabda Brahman, Shabda Brahma. Unless, therefore, one is purified, one cannot take to the principles of Krishna consciousness or become engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna. Omarganantaram nasha jana jana sakaya sakshuri mitam jena tasme shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam gantasa padantekam andeham shri guru shri yata parakamalam guru vaishnavam cha shri rupam sagrijatam sagana raghunatham tam sajivam Sarvetam Savutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Raita Vishvishakam Itam Cha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapade Gopisha Gopiganta Radha Kanta Navasute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhi Vrindavanishvare Krishnabandhu Sute Devi Priyamani Hari Priye Panchakalpatu yascha, vivasindhu eva cha, parinam bhav nevyo, vaishnevyo, namo namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again, by virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life automatically becomes attracted to yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendental stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. These verses, number 37 to 45, are describing the destination of an unsuccessful yogi. So, at the end of this chapter, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham, that the highest yogi is one who abides in him, or the Bhakti Yogi. So there are 3 points in this purport. Purport is why people take to the path of devotional service, and who's the highest yogi, and who is qualified to chant the holy name. So first, yoginam api seshtam, the highest yogi, means that one with intense effort against all opposition, one takes to Krishna consciousness. It says all over the world, people are taking to Krishna consciousness even though there's opposition from family members, friends and family members. One man in Delhi who was an atheist his whole life, performed all sinful activities, decided to become a devotee. His family was not happy. His friends were not happy because he didn't go to movies anymore, he didn't go to nightclubs anymore, he didn't eat in restaurants anymore, he didn't have girlfriends anymore, so they weren't happy with him. But he didn't pay any attention to them. He simply went on with his bhajan. And now they've accepted it to some extent, and they don't. He has his own room where he chants the japa, and his family doesn't disturb him. So, this is the nature of Krishna consciousness. It says in this verse that due to the past life, one becomes attracted to the yoga principles even without seeking them. So we have so many cases where people receive a book about Krishna consciousness and weren't interested in Krishna consciousness. So they gave the book to someone else, a friend or a family member, and that person read the book and became a devotee. So why is it that everybody in the world don't become devotees? Our door is open. We have the Sunday Love Feast, all the temples around the world, where we invite people from all walks of life. We don't discriminate, caste, creed, or color. So anyone has that opportunity to walk in the door of a Hare Krishna temple, associate with devotees, see the deities, take prasadam. But the people, because of they don't have sukriti or the pious credits from the previous life, they can't do it. And those that do have sukriti from previous life, they can do it. So most of us who join this movement, we can examine our lifestyle, our life, and we can understand to some extent that we must have performed Krishna consciousness in a previous life. Otherwise, we wouldn't have taken it up in this life. And see all the events in our life which led up to our surrendering and joining the Hare Krishna movement and joining the temple, becoming a devotee. So, Banam Jamanam Te Gyanabam Mam Papajante Vasudeva Saramaiti Samahatma Sajunamaba. It doesn't happen automatically. It may take many, many births, but somehow or other, we got some sukriti. When we go out and preach to people, we give them a book, they give a donation, they get some agyata sukriti, which means accidental. They're not aware that they're getting some pious credits, some pious account, or getting some benefit, spiritual benefit, is by giving a donation to the Krishna consciousness movement, to Krishna, by taking a book, by seeing devotee in so many ways, and getting a jnana secreta, again, accidental appreciation of the Krishna conscious movement. And so, yoginam api sarvesham. The highest yogi is described in the ninth canto. That was Maharaj Rantidev. Maharaj Rantidev was a very pious king. So one time, he didn't get any food for 48 days. He fasted from water and food with his family members. Then he got a plate of nice edibles and a glass of water. So he divided with his family. When they went to take the prasadam, one man came and begged for some of the prasadam. So he gave it away. Then they were going to take again. Another man came. A sudra man came and gave him all the rest of the prasadam. Then all he had left was a glass of water. And when he went about to drink that, a man with some dogs came, a chandala, said, "I'm thirsty, can you give me some water?" So he gave him the water. But actually, those were all demigods in the disguise of human beings, Brahma, Shiva, and they came to test him, to see how magnanimous he was and how fixed up he was in Krishna consciousness, that he was fully surrendered devotee and then he was undisturbed in any circumstance. That's in the ninth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada wrote in the purport, quoted this verse, "Yogi Namapi Sarvesham." So first class devotee sees Krishna everywhere and everything in relationship to Krishna. He does not see like an ordinary human being. That's the Uttama Adhikari. And the Uttama Adhikari is above all the rules and regulations because he has love for Krishna. He's attained the goal of bhakti yoga. But he continues to follow the rules and regulations just to set an example for others. But the Uttama Adhikari, because he sees everyone serving Krishna and everyone is a devotee of Krishna, he can't preach Krishna consciousness. So therefore, he comes down to the Madhyam, or the middle class devotee. A Madhyam Adhikari devotee has firm love for Krishna, makes friends with the devotees, avoids the demons, and may not be able to defeat people on the Shastric reference, but he has firm faith. So the Uttama Adhikari comes down to the level of the Madhyama Adhikari because they have to discriminate when you're preaching to people. If someone's not interested, you can't preach. It's an offense to the holy name to preach to the faithless. So someone is not willing to hear about Krishna consciousness and is inimical, or that we don't try to preach to them. Well, we give them prasadam. Everybody can take prasadam. That's our secret weapon. This is the Hare Krishna, or the kitchen religion. So people don't want to take a book, they don't want to hear the philosophy, but they'll take some prasadam. And they take it, and they think it's very good. They appreciate that, at least one thing they appreciate. If you give them some nice cookie or some cake or something, they like that. So this is the Uttama Adhikari. Preaches on the level of Madhyama Adhikari, but it doesn't mean he's gone down in his status. He still remains Uttama Adhikari, like Srila Prabhupada when he went to America to preach, he didn't fall into my, he wasn't influenced by the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. He didn't take up the way of the materialistic people. But he tried to preach, and after struggling for over a year or so, he was finally able to establish a center on 2nd Avenue, and people started coming and taking the Krishna consciousness. So here it says that Haridas Thakur, even though he was born in a Muslim family, chanted 300,000 names every day before he took prasadam. So it says, because of his past activities, you know, it's Brahma Haridas Thakur, he's Lord Brahma, he's also Pallad Maharaj, and he's also Rikshi Muni. Three personalities became Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya gave him the title Namacharya, or the Acharya in chanting the holy name. So one time Advaita Acharya performed some Shraddha ceremony, and at the end of that ceremony, you're supposed to feed a few Brahmins. So he called Haridas Thakur and said, I want to feed you first. Haridas Thakur said, you can't do that. I'm not a Brahmin. I was born in a Muslim family. But Advaita Acharya said, you're better than 10 million Brahmins. So you don't discriminate in this way. This verse is saying, or Prabhupada quoted this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about who is qualified to take the chanting the holy name. And oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting the holy name, even if born in the family of dog eaters. How many people here ate dogs? Nobody. Even in America, people don't eat dogs. They have to be pretty low class. Such people are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices, achieved all the good manners of the Aryans, to be chanting your holy name for your lordship. They must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, fulfilled everything required. So the purport is very, I'll just read one part of the purport to get a better understanding. The chanters of the holy name have already performed all kinds of austerities. They must have already traveled to all the places of pilgrimage and taken part in purgatory activities at those places. They are called Arya, because they have already finished all these requirements. And therefore, they must be among the Aryans, or those who qualify themselves to become Aryans. Aryans refers to those who are civilized, whose manners are regulated according to the Vedic rituals. Any devotee chanting the holy name of the Lord is the best of all Aryan. Unless one studies the Vedas, one cannot become an Aryan. But it is automatically understood that chanters have already studied all the Vedic literatures. The specific word used here is anuchuha, which means because they have already completed all these recommended arts, they have become qualified to be spiritual masters. So, there are many Vedic statements in different places saying anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord becomes immediately free from conditioned life, and that anyone who hears the holy name of the Lord, even though born in a family of dog eaters, also becomes liberated from the clutches of material entanglement. Prabhupada did a program in the Philippines. He called it the Philippine. And he said, it was a very nice program, even though they were dog eaters. So Srila Prabhupada, when he first met his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, ordered him to take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya and preach to the English-speaking world. So Prabhupada took that order to heart. But when Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan in 1971 with his Western disciples, who had given Brahman initiation to and sannyas initiation to, he got heavy criticism from the local people, even his godbrothers, saying that you can't do that. These people aren't qualified for that. But why would Bhaktisiddhanta tell Prabhupada to go to the Western world and preach? Why did Lord Chaitanya say that Vrittivityache Nagarati Gram, that his holy name would be chanted every town and village, if he didn't want people to become Brahmins and sannyasis and Vaishnavas? Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was at his house in Gojun in Mayapur, he had a vision from his house. He saw that there was a temple, Mayapur Chandra Mandir, and people from all over the world will be chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. The Srimad Bhagavatam also says that it says in 7th canto, 7.11.35, if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, described above, even if he appeared in different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. So, if one is born in a Brahmin family, it doesn't mean he's a Brahmin automatically. It's like someone's born in the family of a high court judge. The son of the high court judge doesn't become a high court judge automatically, but he has to go to law school and get the qualifications to become a high court judge. In the same way, it says here, Kirata, Huna, Andira, Pulinda, Pulaksha, Abira, Shubha, Yavana, members of the Kasha race, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the voice of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer our respect obeisances unto Him. And Krishna says that Mamhi Partha Jyasrija Yepi Su Papayoniya Sriyo Vaishya Tata Sudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. The son of Partha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, and Sudras, can attain the supreme destination. So in this way, this Shastra, Sasi, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, they all confirm this fact that anyone, no matter what they, what kind of position, what birth family they took birth in, can become a Vaishnav. It says if one is a Brahmin, or he's not a devotee of the Supreme Personality Godhead, he can't do any good. He can't deliver his family, he can't deliver himself, he can't deliver anyone. But if one is a Vaishnav, he delivers his whole family, past, present, and future. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, he delivered 21 generations, past, present, past, and future. So we see so many, sometimes demons are born in Brahmin families, and sometimes devotees are born in demon families. Like Prahlad Maharaj. And Lord Chaitanya also said that he would even kill his own family members to protect his devotees. So one demon, his name was Bhomasura or Narakasura. He was born, you know, as a pious soul, but due to bad association, he became a demon. So Krishna had to fight with him and killed him. But he was the son of Lord Vraha, and his mother was the earth, Mother Earth. So he's actually Krishna's son. So Krishna killed him because he was a demon and creating so much disturbance. So there's both ways. Someone can be born in a Brahmin family, like Ajamil was born in a Brahmin family, all good qualifications, but due to somehow he fell into Maya, and his whole life he spent as a debauchee, cheating people, stealing from people, and doing all kinds of sinful activities. Of course, in his case, because he had Sukriti from his childhood, he was able to remember Narayan at the time of death. But he was a special case. But in most cases, admit that may not happen. So we know that Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent incarnation, and he came to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. In Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were the most intimate associates of the Lord, and for some reason or another, they had to take up the service of the Muslims and serve sinful people. So they said that we're more sinful than Jagga and Madai, because Jagga and Madai were sinful, but they never served sinful people, and they never committed Vaishnava Parad. So they got the mercy, and when they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they gave up all their bad habits and they started chanting 2 lakhs of the holy name every single day. So in this way, it's described here that the transcendentalist or the yogi, he's above all the religious principles of the scriptures, which means the Karmakanda section. It's called Shabda Brahman, which is ceremonies, which are materialistic aspects of the Vedas, which the devotee's not interested in these things, which people want to go to karma, do Karmakanda activities to go to heavenly planet and get heavenly sense pleasure, sense gratification. But and also there's mentioned there's 10 kinds of processes or sacrifice you can do in the Manasamhita. So householders are meant to perform different kinds of sacrifices and different kinds of rituals. But if you take up the process of chanting Hare Krishna, then you need not do perform any of these other activities, or you have already performed all these other activities, so therefore you became qualified to chant Hare Krishna. So this is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, we can't do anything else. We can't do any of these other processes. This process of yoga that Krishna recommended to Arjuna, that no one can do that in this age. But Harinam, 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 Evakevalo, Kaluna Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. This is the, for this age, this is the Yuga Dharma. In Sat Yuga, people form meditation. In the Treta Yuga, people form sacrifice. In the Dwapara Yuga, people did opulent deity worship. It's not that we're not doing deity worship, but we're not doing opulent deity worship. As Prabhupada said, we shouldn't give the deities very valuable jewelry because it will invite thieves. And we've seen that happen when we have gold and silver, people will come and steal that. So in this age, we can't do meditation, we can't do sacrifices. And these Lord Chaitanya forbid different things, forbid the horse and cow sacrifices, forbidden in this age, taking sannyasas, forbidden in this age, getting a child from your brother, and offering flesh to the forefathers. Because in this age, there are no qualified Brahmins, close to Yashamava. To perform a sacrifice properly, you have to have qualified Brahmins who can chant the mantra properly. And there would be a man who would check to see that the mantras were chanted properly, otherwise the sacrifice would not be successful. So none of these things can be done in this age, only the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So all these fortunate souls who are taking to Krishna consciousness means they had some sakriti, something in their past life, which gave them the opportunity to take the Krishna consciousness. It may have been nectar devotion, says past life sakriti, or by meeting a pure devotee. So in either case, we as individual spirit soul, we have free will, and we chose to take the Krishna consciousness. And but not everybody in the world can become Krishna conscious. Papa was asked, what would happen if the whole world would become Krishna conscious? He said that everyone would be happy and peaceful. So, but not everyone can see that the Krishna consciousness movement is something beneficial, especially the parents of the disciples, parents of the devotees. Many of them were very unhappy when their children became devotees because they thought we were normal. You know, we follow four principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And if you don't do those things, then they think you're not normal. There must be something wrong with you. So the parents would come to the temple and complain to the temple authorities, why have you taken my child away? He was such a nice boy. He was intoxicated all the time, addicted to drugs. He was chasing after women, eating all kinds of bumble things. And now look what you've done to him. And they also accused us of brainwashing people. Prabhupada said, if something needs to be washed, then it should. If something's dirty, then it needs to be washed. So we agree, we're brainwashing people because they have dirty brains which have been contaminated since their very birth to think that sense gratification is the only thing that you should do in this life. And everywhere, television, all the media, everywhere is advertising that you should get the most sense gratification, as much sense gratification as you can in this life. But we don't agree with that because param jisvarani vartante. When you come to Krishna consciousness, then you get a higher taste and you feel anything in the material world is a lower taste, is not appealing anymore. It's like Yamunacharya. He was a great king. When he became a devotee, he said whenever he thought about sex life, he would curl his lip and spit in disgust. So he was no longer attracted to this. Although this sex life is the most, everybody in the material world thinks that sex life is the highest pleasure you can get. Everyone is seeking sex life in so many ways. Nowadays it's become so much more degraded. The whole society become degraded based on sex life. And so, but devotees follow these principles, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meeting, no intoxication. And therefore, we Prabhupada came to make first class men. And they asked Prabhupada, what's the first class man? And he said, anyone who follows those four principles, that's the first class man. So here, three things, the highest yogi is being described, and then the last verse of this chapter, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena tara atmana sarvam bhajate yo mam same yuktatmano mataha. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinking of me within himself, rendering transcendental loving service to me, he's the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So Krishna consciousness, Krishna came 5,000 years ago to deliver the devotees, to annihilate the demons, Vrittanaya Sadhunam Nishkaya Janduskritam, and also to reestablish religious principles. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago to give what no other incarnation has ever gave before, prema bhakti. So devotees were not interested in anything short of attaining love for Krishna, prema bhakti. We don't want to merge into the Brahman effulgence. The goal of the yogis, the goal of the Mayavadis and personalists, they want to merge into the Brahman. Yogis want to try to realize Paramatma. But Brahmameti, Paramatmameti, Bhagavaniti, Sabyate. But the highest realization is the highest realization of Bhagavan or Krishna as the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Isvara Parama Krishna Satchinananda Vigraha Nandinada Govindam Sarvakara Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Some may say that Krishna came from Vishnu, but Krishnas Kaviraj defeats that argument, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Vishnu has four arms, and Krishna has two arms, and we have two arms. So people think it's logical that Krishna came from Vishnu, because Vishnu has four arms and we have two arms, so we must come from Krishna. But that is not the conclusion of the Shastra. No, Vishnu came from Krishna, regardless of how many arms he has, and we came, and we're also part and parcel of Krishna. But this is a misconception. So the many misconceptions in this, but people have many, so many misconceptions. But if they read Prabhupada's books, especially Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then they won't have any misconceptions, any more misconceptions. They actually understand. And Krishna says, Chama karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tapataha, chakvatayam punarjama, naitimam soarjuna. Anyone knows the truth, tapaha, my appearance and activities, does not take birth again. So that unsuccessful yogis, they get to take the Krishna consciousness again, because their previous life Hopefully, they can finish the business and not have to take birth again. But even if they do so, there's nothing lost. They still have that security, that spiritual bank account, which goes with the soul. The soul goes from one body to the next, and the subtle body goes with the one body to the next. So the subtle body contains the mind, intelligence, and false ego. That goes with the soul to his next destination. So when the soul turns back to Earth planet and has performed devotional service, then he can take it up at one point or another in his lifetime. Some people take it to Krishna consciousness at a very early age, and some people have to wait till their older age. But either case, they did something in their previous life or in this life which made them eligible to understand Krishna consciousness and take up Krishna consciousness. So therefore, everyone in this movement is required to chant 16 rounds Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without exception. And sometimes devotees were working very hard to remodel the temple somewhere, so Prabhupada could come there, and they weren't able to chant 16 rounds. So Prabhupada told them to sleep less, even though they were only sleeping 4 hours. He said, you must finish 16 rounds every single day. And we take an initiation, it's a contract we make with the spiritual master in front of the fire, in front of the deities, that we'll do this 16 rounds, four against one, for our whole lifetime. And in this way, we'll be able to be successful in Krishna consciousness. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Yeah, this man always has a question. He's the question man. He wants to know about the mind.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you said that Brahmanas those who are taking birth as a Brahmana and they are not Brahmanas properly. But Prabhupada said those activities are good, they take birth in a pious family and Brahmana family. Because Brahmanas also required when we take birth, they keep the name ceremony, and when we die, they do the ceremonies.
So
this type of
a karmakandya
brahmanas, so what do you say about those
karmakandya
brahmanas?
Well, it says, if they're devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they can't deliver themselves. They have to take birth again in the material world. They don't get the same benefit as a devotee. The only Brahman name only, Brahma Din, Brahma Bandhu. It's like Ashwatthama. Right? He was a Brahman. So they didn't want to kill him. But they gave him some punishment. So, but he was a friend. He's called the Brahman Bandhu, or friend of a Brahman. His activities weren't that of a Brahman. Anybody else?
One more. Just like you said, this in Kalyu, only Hari Nam Sankirtan is give us the deliverance. So sometimes we perform this Narsingha Havan Yaga or something like that. So what is that? We devotees like to have sometimes Narsingha Yaga or Havan like this. So what is that? You say that Prabhupada said we should chant Hare Krishna, and that is Sankirtan Yagra Oli. And then sometimes we chant this. Actually, Yaga we do. What is correct?
We chant what?
We are chanting, Prabhupada said, we should chant Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That is only the yaga. But sometimes the devotees, they do nursing yaga. So what is that? Can you tell me that good firework and fire sacrifices they do?
Anyway, we chant other prayers because Nrisimhadev is destroys the obstacles on the path of devotional service. We pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for protection. So, to chant the holy name is the primary activity. These are secondary activities, but they're also recommended. We chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. That also clears the path of offenses so we can chant Hare Krishna. So these other things are nourish our bhakti so we can chant Hare Krishna. They're recommended. Things that are recommended by the acharyas in the scriptures, we follow those things. We don't concoct our own things or make up our own mantras or chant different things. We chant what is given by Srila Prabhupada, by the authorities, by the Mahajans.
So fire sacrifices, can we do this fire sacrifice yaga?
What?
Fire sacrifices we can do. Fire sacrifice we do sometimes. Yagna we do, that is.
Yes.
We can do that also.
Yes, that's also recommended. Hari Bhakti Vilas, time of initiation, marriage ceremonies, opening of new temples. You know, these things go on. But the chanting Hare Krishna is also included. Like when the Prabhupada opened this temple, they called the local Brahmins to perform sacrifice. But Prabhupada said that wasn't required, but just so the local people would accept us as bona fide, we did that. But he said the holy name, kirtan, was all that was required. So kirtan is all that's really required. But these other things, we can do these other things for purification, and we do them anyhow because it's mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas for some scars for purification.
But in Kali Yuga, we don't get pure Brahmins or pure ghee or pure samadhi, but we offer to the Lord. What is that?
Anyway, we still do it anyhow. Just to keep from getting criticized by the public. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita King Jai.